Welcome to Fans of the Forge. I'm Chris. We have to my right
Teresa,
and to my left
you got Sean.
And today's episode is Season 5, Episode 8, Zande Spear. So our four contestants today, we had Jason, who was a 20-year experience level part-time forger. And he was actually my pick and Sean's pick for this one. Before you can get into the rest of them, we're telling you right off the bat. Yeah. We liked him right off the bat.
Yep.
Next was Daniel. He was a full-time bladesmith, and he had been there for 15 years doing that, and he was an ex-military personnel. Then we had Drew, who was a 5-year experience level part-time. He was only 18 years old, and Teresa and myself both had him picked as our underdog for this particular episode. And then last was Larry, who is the old school guy, 15 years experience, part-time bladesmith, and that was Teresa's pick to win and Sean's underdog to win.
Yeah.
So a varying set of picks here this week on this episode. And, you know, the last few we've kind of all lined up on the underdog and had different picks, but it's all over the board here.
Nobody picked the guy with the most experience.
Like, well,
full-time. Full-time.
The most full-time experience,
No one picked Daniel.
Sorry, Daniel. So the first part of this episode, they left it in the hands of Jane Nielsen to pick what the challenges were going to be. And he decided he wanted to do one of his favorite blades, the European dagger. The specs on that were it had to be 10 inches to 12 inches long, 1.25 inches wide. It had to have double edge and a ricasso near the base that was 3/4 inches. And it had to also be a Damascus pattern, which, if you remember from other episodes where we've talked about it, is multiple steel pieces that are forged together. And when it's finished, it has a particular pattern to it. But it's because there's two different types of steel forge welded together when they're making their billets. So
they gave them a lot of things to deal with.
Yeah.
Right. So now it's not make a blade of your own choice. It's you have to make this specific blade, which a couple of them have never made before.
Right.
And you have to do a Damascus.
Which is not easy. It's definitely seems
right.
to be
they,
one
they
of
gave
the
them a bunch of steel to pick from and said, well, have at it.
You and know, it was just random stuff.
It
was all sorts of different stuff. Although, but nobody picked none of the difficult stuff. There were some pretty straightforward pieces of metal there that they were able to just grab.
Right. No one went with canister Damascus, where you just dump a bunch of crap in a canister and you throw it in there.
Right.
No one did that. They all just did layered.
It was funny that they still had some of the chain pieces from the Chain Sprocket episode sitting there, too. Who's going to use that?
Who's going to use that?
Nobody wanted to use it the first time. I mean, they were forced to use it. Nobody's going to pick that chain. To hell with that. And so they went about their process again. It was interesting to see how Drew seemed to know more than the other guys right off the bat. He took his metal right to the sander and ground off all the extra scale and crap that was on there that needed to be cleaned off before he could forge it.
And immediately hurt himself.
Yep, and immediately took a little chunk off his finger there. We also had one other fun fact. To be an ABS Master Smith, you actually need to make this particular type of dagger, I believe. It was a European dagger that they were making. And this is one of the things that you had to make to get that certification as an ABS Master Smith. So it was interesting to see that. And along the way throughout this particular challenge, Jay, he was going around giving advice to the contestants as they were working on their blades. And it was useful. It was actually cool to see that because that was the first time I've seen an episode where they've had somebody going out and actually talking to
Absolutely,
each of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Normally, they're doing their own things when they're all sitting at the table like, oh, don't do that. Oh, that's terrible. You don't know how much they're hearing that.
Right.
But sometimes they do, and the contestants react to it, but they've never just gone out and given advice like that.
But at the same time, he's like, you have to make this blade that I like. So it kind of makes sense that he would go in and help him out a little bit.
That's kind of how they preferenced it. You know, they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to help them because it's so, you know, specific.
Right. So with that, he gave advice to everybody at one point through the competition. He would talk to each person. Daniel was the only one that didn't really take the advice that was given to him. And when it came down to the judging, everybody had some issues with their blade. Jason had a twist in his blade from the quench. And Drew also had like a warp in his blade from the quench. Daniel's was not the correct shape. It was more of a leaf shape, whereas it was supposed to be
streamlined.
Yeah, more streamlined, yes. More straight. And he had almost like a curve at the base.
Yeah, I got it going up. Big, yeah.
And then Larry just didn't have a Ricasso on his, which was grounds for immediate dismissal. And he ended up getting booted because he didn't have the Ricasso, which was required.
Cut a groove into a piece of brass. And he said, well, I do this at my forge. Like, I just use a knife, whatever got right next to me, to pry open. And he takes his own blade.
His competition blade.
His competition blade. And he said, and then, ting, snaps the tip right off.
Right off.
What are you doing?
He's in a shop with all sorts of tools. It would have taken not even a minute to go find a pry bar, screwdriver, or
anything. Just
anything else.
Yeah.
Ugh. Not a piece of hardened steel like that.
So he got that in the grinder and he worked that out.
He made a new tip.
Daniel had his guard upside down. It's supposed to be an upswept guard. And so he had to fix that. Now the judges are standing there staring at it, like waiting for him to figure this out. And he did.
Like someone needs to tell him. Or he needs to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Now he welded it on, right? Was that what happened?
No, he soldered.
It was soldered.
It was soldered on.
And
okay.
So
he didn't take it off.
He just bent it back the other way.
So it didn't look as good. But it
and
was
then at one point they showed like the model, you know, dagger versus his, and they weren't far apart. And it's just like, well, is he going to notice? And he did. So that was good.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a little bit later, he ground a hole through his handle. So as he was trying to do the flutes, got a little too far and ground it right down to the tang.
Right down to the tang.
Which the fluting aspect was something I found interesting. Like, I didn't realize that they had... That was just an option for knives, or that would be a requirement that you had to have flutes around the outside of your handle. I guess that's just the style to go along with the European dagger.
That'd do with the grip, too.
Well, yeah, it definitely would assist with the grip for that type of dagger, I guess. But I just, I thought that was interesting to see how they did it. And, you know, as his looked the crappiest, I think, Daniel's out of all of them. And then he ended up grinding the hole through it.
He's right down to it.
Yeah, it was not good.
I mean, I don't know. As I was watching, I said, well, what are these guys going to do to make the flutes? You know, how they know, like, the twist. And they were just kind of like, they're freehanding it really on the grinder. They're just kind of grinding it out. I said, I would have grabbed like some thin masking tape and just kind of tape my profile into it and then follow that. You were drawing it on, maybe just follow that. Like, you know, think of it like someone pinstriping a car. They lay it out and then that's how they do the paint. But,
well, you know, they didn't really show. I have to assume they had some sort of markings. But you don't know that for sure. At least some of them look like it was just completely freehand.
They might have just penciled it in or used some soapstone, just kind of.
Yeah, I feel like they would have had to have done something because some of the flutes that they made came out really well, and it couldn't have, like, they're great. They're good knife makers, blade smiths, whatever you want to say here. But to make them that nicely, I think they had to have had some sort of marking or guidelines to go by as they were doing the.
Well, I mean, you can draw it on, but. Still, you don't have like a straight line when you're drawing. You can just, your hand could wobble at any point. If you got a piece of tape, you can just draw, just pull it across.
Yeah.
But so, you know, that's what they did. And it kind of worked out.
Yeah. Somewhat. They all had the flutes when it came
down. Flutes.
Drew, just barely. I guess it was like a quarter rotation.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Instead of all the way around.
Yeah, it wasn't a good twist.
But they had them, and then they all went to judging. They all passed everything. The strength test was an oil can stab, and, you know, they came out a little bit damaged, but everybody passed the oil can stab. Everybody passed the fish test, which Doug was back for this, at least left-handed, to stab a fish. And he, for all of them, was able to slice it down, but not so great going across the back for really anybody. And in the end, it was Daniel that was eliminated because of the hole in the handle and significant chips in his blade.
Right. I just want to say, Doug did a badass fish stab just right in and then down.
Yeah.
It was awesome looking.
Yeah, he definitely knows how to use a knife. And I don't know if I showed you the video, but I sent Sean a video the other day of Doug. And it was an ad for these knives that he designed. And they're close combat concealable knives that are about yay long, and they have like a little finger hole in the end.
They almost look like scissors.
Yeah, they look like scissor blades, like tiny scissor blades, but then they had little sheaths that you could like conceal on your body.
Like Wolverine?
Yeah, kinda. And so in the video, he's like pulling them out and like flipping the thing around, and he's doing it. But the whole video is playing to the music from The Lost World Jurassic Park, like a piano cover, while he's like talking about his training. And then they have somebody that's representing him as a kid. Like, as a kid, I always loved to play with sharp objects.
That's right.
Like, what? What? And then eventually, about halfway through the video, it cuts from Lost World and switches to heavy metal as he's doing his tests, and they're cutting through pig skin and everything else with these tiny little knives, and they look like awesome. Like, they definitely will kill. They will kill.
It's like a scalpel, but it's just, instead of a round point, it's just like boom, it's just as crazy.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
point on.
I'll have to show you the video. I think you would like it. So moving on, we go to our round three.
They have to make a Xander spear, and really all they say about it, you know, it's used in combat, it's a good throwing weapon, a good spearing weapon, used in Central Africa. And the specs weren't too crazy, but it's a very long weapon. They needed to have three tines on it, 3-inch tines, I'm sorry, four of them, and it needed to be a wooden shaft that had to be 1.5 inches in diameter, and a circular cross section. And not too much going on with Jason. He had to start over on day two because his spear was short, and I don't know if he had a problem. Did he have a problem with his tines?
Yeah, he did have a problem forming his tines. I think that's what the was short. The short. Tines are too short.
Yes, that's ones. Right. That's right. His tines are too short, so he had to start over. And then Drew, during his four, it was after he did, was it after he quenched? He pulled it out, and then he had it on a log, and it like fell, and then a tine partially broke.
Yeah.
So he had to start over, and that was on day three. But they finished it up, and then Jason was shaving a 2x2 board by hand to make it rounded for his handle. And, you know, it looked like I admire his ability to kind of go for that. And
it was definitely not as smooth.
Rustic.
Yes.
Yeah, it definitely had a handmade look to it. And in general, I mean, I still believe he could have gone and just gotten something that was already matching the diameter he needed of that, of a nice strong wood that he could use for a shaft, and saved himself a lot of trouble.
Right, that would save some time. You know, I don't know what he could have used that extra time for, but, you know, with something like that, you know, why go through the trouble? Mm. But these guys, they take pride in doing everything by hand. So I guess that's, you know, just part of something that he was going for.
Right.
So then it takes to testing day.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a note about Jason's wardrobe.
He showed up in this weird looking, like leather looking smock that was borderline like a dress, but he had pants on. But it was very odd looking. It was a very odd choice for the big final test. You would think you'd want to look a little nicer, considering, you know, Drew had been wearing his finest
vest and tie. Right. We didn't mention Drew dressed up, tie, vest. Come on, man. Dave Baker. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, he's going after a Dave Baker look, and, you know, okay, but, you know, that there's no way I was going to pick him at all, underdog or anything. So, you know, whatever. But dressing all snazzy for a forging show. Okay, you know, to each their own.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we get to the kill test, which was spearing a ballistics dummy. I think it was Doug's brother this time.
Yep.
Doing the testing. And both passed. Drew lost his tip on one of the stabs, but still, you know, still did some, they both did some great damage to the ballistics dummy. And I think this is one where I was saying that in the background, you can see Doug during the test. He just got this crazy grin on his face. It was really awesome to kind of watch. So that was pretty pretty funny.
I feel like there's a lot of times where you're not seeing Doug in the background, but he's almost always probably there, slightly out of focus in the back. Just
that's
like,
exactly how it was. He's just out of focus and his big grin on his face.
Oh, yeah.
So,
He will kill.
Kill that dummy. And then it goes to the strength test. They loaded Drew's spear into this kind of modified air cannon, goes down a tube, and then he launched it into the wall of like cut, you know, 4x4s that we've seen before. And he passed his spear went really deep. It went to the
second set of tines.
The second set of tines, which is nuts. And he needed help from who helped him like get it out of there. I forget.
Oh, one of the judges did. I don't know if it was
Did he get a chisel or something to kind of dig
it
out?
Yeah, I think he was he put a wedge into the wood to keep the wood open so he can get grab the spear out. And then it was Jason's turn, and well, guess what? That handle fiasco came to bite him in the ass because he couldn't load his spear into the cannon. It was too wide in some parts of the handle, and he couldn't load it in. So he got disqualified. Good job not measuring well enough. Like I said to these guys, make a jig and measure it and make sure it all the way down. It's just, it had to be inch and a half.
Inch and a half.
Diameter. Yep. Come on. Get a caliper and just run it all the way down. He's like, I measured it a bunch of times. Well, dude, you're fighting for 10 grand and the title Forge and Fire champion. Do a better job next time. Try that out. Like, I mean, kudos for going by hand on this thing, but seriously, man, like, get it together and don't wear your weird smock.
You blew it. You absolutely blew it.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, I happened to stumble upon the Forge and Fire Facebook group this week, and because it was the week after this episode aired, I was looking through, and there was a lot of comments about this particular episode, and there were some people that were very upset that he got disqualified because it didn't fit in the machine. But
he didn't meet a criteria.
Right.
People get disqualified.
They told him how wide that handle had to be.
Yeah, and he didn't meet it. He didn't meet it.
What did they want him to do? What did they want then? Oh, go over to the sander, sand it down for us and make it fit?
Yeah, well, obviously.
He screwed up.
They didn't really have much in the way of a solution. They just said, that's stupid. If it doesn't fit in the machine, they could have figured something else out. But obviously,
they couldn't have.
Shouldn't have to, though. That's the test.
Right, right.
They gave him a spec, and it didn't meet the spec.
Yeah. So, in the end, he was disqualified, and Drew, the sharp-dressed boy, won this episode and $10,000.
That's your underdog
pick. That was our underdog pick. So
could have been yours if you didn't judge him by his clothes.
Yeah, I wonder if we should have our point system be like 2 points for underdogs if they win or something like that, because that'd be it. If we actually start keeping track of the points and see who wins at the end of the season, that could be an interesting way to do it.
Well, I mean, I wasn't just judging him on his clothes. I mean, he's 18 years old.
Yeah.
He's 5 years
old. You said you weren't going to pick him because he was wearing a vest.
He looked a little too, but he was also very young. I was like, all right, you know. But it seems like the young guys sometimes just pull it out. So
it seems like a lot of the time, the really young guys that are new to it almost tend to be more on the ball because all the information is so new to them that they remember it all. They know the different tests to check metal hardness or the specific things. Like what he did was he went and he was cleaning off his metal beforehand. Like that should be second nature.
Right.
For everybody, but almost all the time in these shows, people are not doing it. And then they end up having issues trying to do their forge weld because it's dirty.
Right. And so during this episode, one guy's welds were coming apart because he wasn't cleaning them off. And so Nielsen, Jay Nielsen, goes over there and says, you should clean those off and try it again.
Yep.
You know, he's like, just clean, grind them off, and then try to forge weld again. You know, but Drew didn't, he went right for it. And the first thing they're saying was, wow, that's a great thing he's doing right there. He's cleaning off the steel before he forges, forge welds it together.
So, congratulations to you, Drew. You nailed it. You got your money there, even if you didn't have to. Well, you passed the other test. It didn't really matter. I mean, would he have lost if Jason was able to shoot his out? We don't know, because his could have maybe broken during the test too. We'll never know. So, Jason.
At that point, if Drew's tip had broken off. So if Jason's didn't,
he would have had an advantage going in. Yeah, he would have won. So that's too bad.
Yeah, lucky.
Yeah,
but good job. You didn't screw up on the handle. Good job.
And with that, we'll call it an episode. So that was that one, season 5, episode 8, Zonde Spear. Thank you for watching the show. Remember to subscribe to the channel if you like Forged in Fire and our wrap ups. Hopefully, as we do more of these, we'll get into more of a groove, and you'll like what we do.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe, who knows?
Like us, comment, not, subscribe, whatever. You know the deal.
You know, it's cool.
Let us know what you like, what you don't.
And, starting very soon, the audio only versions of these will be available as podcasts as well. So keep an eye out for that if you prefer an audio version rather than watching a video. So again, thanks for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.